Welcome to I Guess We're Grownups Now. I am one of your hosts, Carrie, and there is your other one of your hosts, Brooke. Hi, Brooke.
Hey. I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
I didn't really know either.
I think the best part about us recording infrequently is that we have somehow built this like slightly unpredictable opening. Like we're over the same music, but things have started to just kind of go askew, and I love it.
Just random, whatever my brain comes up with for words.
Heck,
it's a good time.
Yeah, it's the way to do it.
We have a sponsor that we should thank before we get too deep into our topic, which is going to be awesome. Our sponsor is FeedPress. FeedPress is made for bloggers and podcasters. If you're a podcaster and a blogger, you need analytics and a hosting platform that provides you with the right tools to make your job easier so you can get back to doing what you do best, creating stuff. FeedPress is a delightfully intuitive RSS analytics and podcast hosting platform with accurate analytics for RSS feeds and email newsletters. Sign up today at feed.press/goodstuff and try FeedPress on a 14-day commitment-free trial. Use promo code GRUNUPS during checkout to get 10% off your first year. Thank you to FeedPress for sponsoring I Guess We're Grownups Now. And thank you to goodstuff.fm for being our hosting network.
Yeah. Thanks for getting us out there. And thanks for everybody who's still listening sticking with us. And it's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling.
So what are we talking about feeling, today? Brooke? Oh God, what is a good feeling? I just had some vegan chocolates. That was a good feeling until it got too spicy. Also, catharsis is a good feeling.
Catharsis is a good feeling.
And I think something that gives me catharsis a lot and our topic today is crying.
Yay, crying. Let's hear it for crying.
I like how we both just air cheers each other with our drinks.
So. Exactly. We did.
That's how we do.
I feel strongly about crying. And I think there are some naysayers out there who are anti-crying. I am not one of them.
Well, they are, I don't know, unfeeling monsters.
Sure.
I think my feelings about crying have changed a lot over the years because of a lot of factors. But yeah, I can say I'm pretty 100% pro crying at this point. I'm on the crying train.
So tell me about how you feel like your attitude toward crying has evolved through your life.
I think the short version of it is I used to be able to cry when I was young, and then I couldn't for a long time, and now I can again. I don't know if this is 100% true for everyone, but a lot of folks, myself included, who are trans. When our bodies end up with a lot of the wrong hormone in our systems, it can shut you off from a lot of emotional response and a lot of human feeling stuff. And once you start taking hormones that are more correct for your body, then next thing you know, you're like, oh, emotions, what were those? It may not be completely a biological hormonal thing, although I think that is a pretty strong factor. It may also be around some degree of trauma and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There was this old feeling that trans women get weepy and trans guys get angry, but I think that's actually a pretty misogynistic lie. A lot of the trans guys I know have actually been I can cry finally, or I can actually have more deep emotions.
Right.
I think the dudes who are talking about always feeling angry were always angry before. It's you brought that with you, bro. It's not the tea. It's
right.
Some internalized junk that you've got. So that was that's the short version. I think the longer version is just that a bunch of therapy, going through a divorce, moving across the country, different breakups, being more present, meditating and doing yoga has meant that I actually feel things. So when I'm talking about stuff, sometimes my emotions are just present. They're just happening. Like a case in point, the other night I was walking home from a punk show. We went and saw Team Dresh, which is like, yay, 90s riot girl. And we were talking about trans healthcare. A friend of mine's going into like physical therapy, and she's been in school for a minute, and one of her classmates suggested they do a like a unit, or they do a project or something on like trans care, and mm-hmm. she wanted to focus her energy on something that is like maybe useful to a very small portion of the population, but is not very like broadly interesting or effective. And in fact, ends up reifying a lot of the same kind of like gender binary, like trans people are weirdo stuff that a lot of people have feelings about anyway. Mm-hmm. And it was around like the physicality of walking around. So this person had been like, oh, I'm going to do a unit on like how like trans women watch YouTube videos to learn how to walk like a woman, and trans guys watch YouTube videos to learn how to walk like a guy. And my friend was like, obviously this is bonkers, because like, how do you walk like a woman? You're a woman and you walk. Like, how do you walk right. like a guy? You're a man and you walk. Like
right.
this idea that there's some sort of like single way to do these things is like patriarchal garbage. So anyway, right. she was asking me like, how do I address that? But then also like, you know, what do you actually think are needs in the community? And another friend of mine who is cis, but is like an LGBT activist, like full time, like that's her job.
Mm-hmm.
Her and I were just talking about like, yeah, like here's the actual needs. But anyway, long story short, I got really upset and like really like scared and sad. And it just like built up. And as I was talking about what my community needs, versus like what we're actually getting,
yeah.
and my fears both right now and going forward for myself and people who have like way less privilege and ability than like I've been like able to garner, I just started crying like really intensely, and my friends held me, and then a friend of mine gave me a ride home. I was gonna walk home initially because I like walking, and I was just thinking at the moment, like, wow, this didn't used to happen. Like, mm-hmm. I would have been able to just say my piece and maybe effectively, like, talk about it in, like, a cold and and dispassionate way, which is, like, what the patriarchy right. teaches us is the way to talk about anything. And now I'm like, oh, no, I'm like, it's in me. And it's I'm like, my brain and my heart are in the same place right now. And it's right. hard. And it's good when you're around people like that, right? Where you're around friends who can like hold you and love you, but it's bad in a lot of other situations, or it feels bad.
It feels bad. Like I think, so there was a article recently that went around CBC radio, and there was a lot of people wringing their hands about crying in the workplace and whether you should or shouldn't. I am a workplace crier. I cry, especially in front of my managers.
Yeah,
like
same.
I always have, and I think I always will. And for me, it's like what you said. It's like I cry because I'm emotionally engaged with this. Like if I'm crying, it means I care. I wouldn't be crying if it wasn't something I felt passionately about. And it doesn't mean I feel bad about it. It just means that it's hitting me in a really meaningful place to me, no matter what the thing is, whether it's a situation that's unfair or a situation that's sad or a situation that's awesome. It's like, yeah, this is me caring a lot about a situation.
Yeah, and I think that's the hard thing, right? It's like, especially when you're at work, because I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, if I feel, like, strongly about something, if I'm talking about, like, performance or whatever else, like, mm-hmm. the likelihood is I'm going to cry. And it's right. not out of some sort of, like, twisted, like, I'm going to convince this person of this way. It's just like, shit, I can't help it. Like, it happens. And what right. I hate is that, because of the patriarchy, like we're taught that that weakens our argument, or that it makes us look weaker. And it does, because some people have like awful attitudes, but
that's in them, not in us.
Right. And I think it's not incumbent upon us to like behave differently so much as it's incumbent on us to like have a conversation with them before and after, to say like, here's something that happens when I feel strongly.
Yeah.
Work with me through it. Give me space. Let's talk about it. Like, feelings are good, and figure something out. I've had situations where I felt really like disempowered, I think is the word, by crying, right? Like conversations I had that were difficult with managers, where I was like, I want to scream at you and tell you how much of an asshole or idiot you are. And instead I'm crying and it makes me frustrated. Or like, I want to coldly tell you to go to hell, but I can't. Like, I'm just sad, right?
Right. Yeah.
And those are all like intense reactions, but like, I've had a lot of bad stuff happen at companies. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, the only problem with crying is that it can derail the conversation, because the other person, if the other person doesn't know what to do with it.
Right. Yeah.
Which really, the only thing I want you to do with my crying when I cry is maybe take me more seriously than you were.
Right.
Like, I don't need you to reassure me or to lie to me or to change the subject or anything. Like, just like there's literally salt water coming from my face. That's all. That's it.
It might
just
be nice if
continue
you have
the
tissues.
Conversation.
Like, maybe if you have tissues, that would be good.
Right.
But yeah, like pause for a second and just kind of say like, say nothing.
Do you want to
like
continue? Wait. Right.
Or just like, hey, do you want to continue? Or like, I hear you. Like, and like, I'll probably be able to collect myself. Like, it'll probably end up working out. But I think if your first reaction to someone crying, if you're on the other side, if you're watching, your first reaction is like, ugh, gross. Then like, you need to figure that out. You need to check yourself.
And yeah. Like make it stop. Yeah.
Question what's inside of you that hates feelings, and what's inside of you that's decided that feelings are like invalid.
Right.
The first reaction is like, oh, I feel more empathetic towards this person, and now I want to know more, and I want to find out what it is that's like stirring up these passions that are obviously coming out in this way. Because like we know from like lots of research and lots of people writing about the way that like workplace stuff happens, that men tend to get angry, women tend to get sad, or not sad, but like cry. And it comes off as reading as sad, right? Like that's, and like,
but half
we
the time
can be angry,
it's angry
too. Yeah. It's just that we're socialized not to raise our voices. We're socialized not to like,
well, and I don't want to raise my voice. I want to cry. That's what my body does.
And crying is like a less, it is a non-violent way of feeling feelings. Like the yelling thing is crazy. Like, sorry, I shouldn't say the crazy. The yelling thing is
intimidating.
Intimidating and like aggressive and violent. And when I'm in a meeting where it seems like the only way to get ahead is to raise my voice, then I am looking for a new job.
Yeah.
When I'm in a place where like the only people who can seize power are the ones who are enacting like that kind of patriarchal violence, then I'm out. I'm like, how do I get out of here? Or I'm at, and it's hard even in those cases too, right? To raise an HR complaint or something, right?
Mm.
Like to say like, hey, I cried and this person didn't take me seriously, but they scream in meetings all the time. And
like this
somehow
is
that's okay. Like what's going on? Like that's a hard thing to talk to HR about.
Yeah. I think if you as a person, not you, Brooke, but you, the generic person out there listening, if you see somebody crying and your first instinct is to like, I need them to stop, you need to quash that instinct, because the catharsis that we were talking about off the top only comes from finishing crying, not from the crying stopping. Like the crying will stop of itself. Nobody cries forever.
Totally.
Like it's a way of for the body to like work things through the emotions that you're feeling. And if that stopped unnaturally, those emotions are still there and unexpressed. And that's no good. That's not how you get to the root of the problem and the solution. So, I mean, I just want people to let me finish crying.
Totally. And some people might excuse themselves to go cry. Like, I've done that before. Although, honestly, that usually means I don't trust you. Like, if I leave a room that you're in so I can go cry, it means I don't trust you. Very much so. The number of times I've been at a company and been in the bathroom crying in a stall and left the stall to find other women who had also been crying, who were like, gave each other like a solidarity nod of just like, God, this place is terrible. I've tweeted about it. Like, it's a common thing. And I've only worked at one company where I haven't dealt with that. And that's like the one I'm working at now. Every other company, like, there were days, so many days where I cried in the stall. And let me just say, like, coming through that and now working in a place where I feel like I can bring my emotions, where I feel like the men and women that I work with are able to, like, hold that for me and support me and say, like, hey, I love you and, like, this matters and you matter, is so amazing. And, like, conversely, it means I cry less often at work. Because most of the time, like, I feel like I don't have to get upset or impassioned because, like, it's just
people believe you the first time.
Right. Yeah. And, like, people are suggesting things. Like, my boss is asking me questions that are for himself or his daughter that show that he's listening and he cares. My boss is, like, trying to figure out how to stop tweeting for a second about, like, the just horrific situation in America right now in order to like tweet about company stuff. And I'm just like, what a great problem to have.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen coworkers, like I've seen people like share those emotions and have those feelings and it makes me feel seen and heard, which I think is like the bare minimum that we can ask for, but is also so, so cathartic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Have you been at a place, like, have you found different workplaces to be better for this or?
Oh yeah. I even find, so, I mean, I've only really had two employers my entire adult life. But I would say that, I mean, the first one was a massive one and I moved around different jobs in it. So yeah, some of them were more welcoming than others. I mean, and I would say that for the first 10 years of my career, I had pretty messed up ideas of what my role was as a person in the workplace. So I'm not sure I had it all figured out, but I think once I sort of reached the point where I'm like, yeah, I don't care if you have a problem with me crying, you know, things got a lot better.
That's good.
So yeah. What else? So, but I mean, I cry in a lot other, many, many other places besides work too.
Totally.
And, you know, I think my husband started to get used to it. My parents were always, I was raised, they were pretty comfortable with me crying. And I think that's part of it is, my mom was certainly a crier. My dad, maybe less so, but he's, a minister, so he was used to people crying in front of him. Like, I don't think it was completely, he knew how to deal with it. So, like, on the flip side, I mean, like, a lot of things make me cry. Like, a good commercial, like a really emotionally manipulative commercial can make me cry.
I hate those.
There are commercials
also,
I can think about it and it makes me cry. Yeah, exactly. I hate them, but I also love them too.
Right.
So,
it's like,
yeah.
Wow, you guys are really good at manipulating me and I feel upset. I also cry sometimes when I'm like reading a book and like,
oh yeah.
I recently read a book that was just not very good. It was for book club and my book club is a lesbian book club. And so we read, predominantly books by lesbian women about lesbian material. Although sometimes the books are by someone who's not a lesbian, but they're usually about lesbians. It's like determining what qualifies as like lesbian reading for a lesbian book club is surprisingly difficult. And there's a lot of like arguments internally in my book club about what we should or shouldn't be reading.
That sounds like deciding what's Canadian music. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Or deciding what's a sandwich or, a la the company that we both worked at. I think that like, there's a lot of these like discussions and like, it's tricky, and I get it. But also, like, so we've read a lot of stuff that's just really not very good. Not because lesbian literature is bad, but because...
Because there's a lot of, yeah.
Well, people have different taste, and so sometimes people will be like, hey, I really love this book, we should read it. And it's like some mystery novel, and then it turns out to just be like the schlockiest, pulpiest thing, and maybe like has a worldview that's not compatible with my worldview necessarily, or like is very outdated as far as like how it presents like femme and butch women or whatever. But where is it going with this?
Did one of them make you cry?
Oh,
even
yeah,
though it was terrible.
Yeah, I was reading this one, and it was just like, it was so obviously pulling on my heartstrings. But like, yeah, the lesbian couple who almost got divorced, like rescued and like adopted this girl whose like mom died of a drug overdose, and then her uncle was like trying to steal her away to like get information about like where the drug stash was. Anyway, it was like so just terrible. But I just was like sobbing as I was like speed reading through the end of the book, because I was just like, oh God, because I was feeling it. I was like identifying with some of it enough to feel it viscerally, which
well,
I guess
great.
Means the writer is not that bad. Like maybe the writer is somewhat talented, but I think the story itself was really like obviously like heartstringy.
Well, right. It's like listening to, you know, Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke and going, this is amazing, I love that chord change. And it's like, yeah, but the song is a piece of shit. Like,
yeah.
Right. It's the same, whatever that thing is that like reaches into your, like your cave person brain and tweaks
right.
your thing that you cry about.
But
yeah.
Like,
I kind of love that feeling. Like there's
it's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling.
I got in the shower the other day, and I have a like a new like Bluetooth speaker thing in there, so I can listen to music
oh, yeah.
and podcasts. And I usually listen to podcasts, which is really nice. It's like I get to listen to like another round or something like while I'm taking a shower and like get some like awesome comedy or news or whatever. But I was like it was later on in the day, and I was feeling like kind of rough, and I was like, you know what, I want to listen to Tori Amos. So I just like put on an old Tori Amos album. And then got in the shower and then just started like just sobbing. And I did not expect to do that. And I wasn't like doing it. I didn't put that album on so I could cry. But then after I did, I was like, this kind of rules. Like, I'm feeling so much right now, and I obviously needed to. And I'm glad that I did this. So,
yeah, I remember when I was like 17, I broke up with a boyfriend, and a couple weeks later, I was at a gym, and this is super embarrassing, but Every Rose Has Its Thorn by
oh
Poison
God,
came
yes.
on, and I just, like, I was lying on a floor or on a bench or something like that in the gym crying about
I think our musical references date us, but I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Oh my God.
Cowboy sings a sad, sad song, Brooke.
I think we all have, I mean, like, I know I have, like, breakup music or music that I listen to when I'm, like, upset.
Yes.
And the music that I listen to is, like, both comforting and also inducing of, like, certain kinds of feelings. Or at least it, like,
yeah.
it matches and syncs up with my mood so that I can, like, embody and, like, be present with it. Because something that
yeah.
I do a lot or still do and have, like, a bad habit of, like, leaning towards is... when I feel something and it's scary, or I feel something and I'm not really like ready for it, I like put it away. Like I'm really good at compartmentalization.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get a lot better at like sitting with it and not like judging
yeah.
it and just letting it be a thing. And so sometimes like putting on some music can help me feel that, or like lighting some candles and like taking a bath, which is great. And I think like if you haven't cried in a long time, if it's been a while, like, give yourself some space to do that. Like,
yeah.
go get a massage, like, get a pedicure, or, like, do a face mask, and, like, drink some white wine, and, like, put on some, like, Prince or something, and just, like, let it out. Like,
yeah,
whatever you need to do with that, it can be so healthy, and, like, I think it's a lot more productive and helpful than, like, embracing anger, for instance. Like, don't go punch a pillow or just like cry a little bit and like recognize that we're human and there's a lot of stuff happening that is sad and that we have every right to be upset about. And whether or not like your personal life is affected by it, like people that you care about are. And yeah.
And crying means you still care. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
It's a great thing. Yeah.
It is a great
thing. I think also, like, I can't speak to this because I'm not a parent, but I'm wondering, like, as a parent, has seeing how your kids cry and react to things, like, has that changed how you feel about it? Or, like, do you feel more connected to your emotions, like, by seeing that, like, the directness that they have with it?
I think what it's helped me do is get comfortable with whatever emotion is being displayed and stop the trying to, you know, suppress it.
Yeah.
Instinct. Cause when you've got a kid, you really, really want them to just be happy all the time, which is almost meaningless. And it's important for kids to go through being upset. And so letting your kids work through anger or frustration or sadness, and just letting it be, letting them feel their feelings, maybe giving them words to describe it, but not telling them what they're feeling.
Right.
Has been the biggest challenge and the biggest thing that I've learned. I'm still not great at it, I would say, but that's sort of the thing I've worked on the most is just like the letting them decide how they feel and not me trying to go, no, you're happy about this. Like, no.
Yeah.
It's so hard though, because you just want them to be happy, right? Everybody knows that about kids.
And like, as a not parent who sees kids outside, like I was in Japan and I was like going down this long stairwell. I was like on the 8th or 9th floor of this like bookstore, which, oh my God, like 9-story bookstores. Wow. Although I couldn't read almost anything in there because my Japanese is terrible. So I was like, I'm basically illiterate and I'm in this amazing bookstore and I'm so sad. It was like, I almost cried there. I was just like, this is like a literal nightmare of like all these books, but I can't read them. but I was walking down these stairs and there was this kid and like, he was like crying. And in Japanese, he was saying like, no, I don't want to leave. Like, put me down. I don't want to go. Which I love that this kid was so stoked about being in the bookstore. I don't know why, but I was just like, man, I see what you're saying, dude. But the mom was just like, no, be quiet. Like, you need to, like, chill out. Like, we're leaving. And I think there's, like, with kids and adults, it seems like there's sometimes a very distinct difference between or a very strong distinction between, like, crying because you're feeling something versus like crying because out of like protest or something, right?
Right, because you're not getting your way.
There's like a tension and stuff like that. And yeah, and I mean, that can still be that component of like the cathartic good crying. But it seems like, especially with kids, like it's one of their only like tools is to like, especially when you're really little, just like if I cry, maybe this will change. And like, how do you work with that? How do you like validate what your kids are doing as far as like, hey, I know you're feeling feelings and I support that, but we're in the middle of like Whole Foods and
it's
disrupting other people. Go. And like, I want to be here with you and feel what, but like, what do you do? How do you do that?
I have never been the kind of parent who tells their kid to like, not be upset because we're disturbing other people. That's not my brand. I don't give a crap. I don't like if I'm not going to put other people's like adults' expectations for managing their level of discomfort on my kids. That seems too, like if my kids feel they need to freak out in the middle of a supermarket, I might try to get them to stop, but it won't be because I think we're disturbing other people. Sorry. That was judgy parent coming out there. But anyway, but I do think sometimes it's important that they realize that them crying about something isn't going to change it. Cause that's a normal lesson too. Like even at work, like Just because I'm crying about something doesn't mean it's going to change. The crying is part of the, sometimes it's part of the accepting that it's not going to change. Right. And so trying to get my kids to understand the difference between hating the idea of something or being sad or frustrated about something, but having it happen anyway is like, you know, you can still, your sadness is still valid, mm-hmm. but it doesn't change reality.
Right.
Is like kind of the lesson that I try to give them. I don't know.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that's a good lesson for like adults too, right?
Well,
like,
right.
Your sadness is great. I'm glad you're feeling it, but it in and of itself doesn't change anything. Like, let's think about right. concrete steps you can take to make something different, or sometimes right. recognizing this is going to be the way it is. And there's literally nothing you can do. Like, let's yeah. say a breakup, right? Like, I've cried right. during breakups. Like, that's a really like appropriate time to cry. But there comes a moment in like a discussion with a partner where you know it's ending and there's nothing you can do to change that. Unless let's say you were the instigator. Although even if you're the one breaking up with someone, there's a point where you can't take it back. And right. at that point, it's just like, you're going to feel it. It's going to suck. And you'd have to accept that this is now what's happened or happening. And
yeah.
And like, it's an intense thing. And there's like that finality too, that can also be like add fuel to the fire of the tears. So.
Yeah, totally. We should wrap this up. Unfortunately.
No, we totally should.
I'm
going
to cry. It's time to be over.
Yeah. I mean, I've been feeling, the last thing I'll say is just that like with regards to living in America, which is becoming less and less democratic and less welcoming to like the people that made this country amazing. Every day, I felt like crying almost every day, especially since I got back from Japan, because being in Japan was somewhat of an insulation, not because I was away, because like news is everywhere, but because I was so excited to be there, it overwhelmed everything else I was feeling. But I have been feeling so much shock and so much terror. Even though I knew a lot of this is coming, even though I'm fighting every day to make things different, it's still just that, like a literal trauma kind of feeling. So I think after this, I'm going to go put on some Toriemos, take a bath and cry a little bit. So
I'll cry.
I hope that, hope that you get to do the same thing when it's appropriate and when you want to.
Exactly.
But,
yep.
Yeah, I'm glad we talked about it. Hold your people close. Like, what does another round say? Like, take your pills, call your people, something like that. Just like, love yourself, love like the people around you, and like stay yeah. strong.
Totally. Where can people find you on the internet, Brooke?
At Brooke Shelley on Twitter. I just put a new link in that bio to my GitHub page where I have all my writing. So
nice.
Yeah.
And I'm at KYYARAI, and the podcast is at
grownups_FM. Yep, and we're also at goodstuff.fm/grownups, I think.
Yep, goodstuff.fm/grownups. That's right.
Yeah, so thanks That's for us. Listening. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you again in a few weeks.
Cry you later.
I completely, I accidentally hung up on you. I was like, cry you later. I wanted to just push stop, but I just pushed like hang up because I was like, gross, I'm out.
Make her stop.
That's so good. Oh my God.